The WBFO Brief Podcast is made possible by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Access to the newest treatments and most sophisticated testing is so important. It matters where you receive your cancer care. Spend one day with Roswell Park. Visit roswellpark.org.
Today's WBFO Brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Established to create jobs in New York State, industrial development agencies are seeing a decline in performance. According to a report from the State Comptroller's Office, industrial development agencies, or IDAs, had a hand in 4,320 projects in 2022 that would create over 213 jobs during the life of those projects. That is a 3% decrease from 2021, while total tax exemptions increased by $2 billion in 2022. The report also found Erie and Genesee County IDAs had the second and third highest expenses in the state. Western New York also had the second highest number of new projects approved in 2021 and 2022. An 18-year-old University of Buffalo student faces a felony charge accused of encouraging violence on social media against an on-campus rally earlier this month. According to the Erie County District Attorney's Office, Abdul Baji of Orange County, New York, made the threat against a pro-Israel demonstration organized by the Jewish Student Union. UB police had initially declined to identify Baji out of concerns for his safety. And Seneca Nation citizens will have a chance to vote on a pair of referenda this summer. According to the Seneca Nation's newsletter, the two ballot initiatives will ask Seneca Nation citizens whether they support the creation of a Seneca Nation-operated police department and whether they support entering agreements with authorities to give the nation criminal justice or jurisdiction over non-Seneca Nation citizens. Taxes will rise for City of Buffalo residents, though the level won't be as high as originally proposed. Common Council members Wednesday voted to approve a 7.5% tax levy increase, lowering the 9% rise originally proposed by Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown. The council also trimmed spending by over $400,000. The mayor has 10 days to veto the council's changes. Republicans in the New York State Legislature are criticizing a bill that seeks to reduce plastic waste. State Senate Leader Rob Wirt says the Package Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act will only increase costs for consumers and make it more difficult to do business in the state.
I don't think I've ever heard one call from any of my constituents who said, Senator Ort, please do something about the barbecue packet that I get when I get my son's Happy Meal. You know what they tell me? They tell me the Happy Meal is too damn expensive, Senator Ort. It's too damn expensive, and I can't afford to take my kids there anymore. And one of the reasons it's too damn expensive is policies that we pass here. Make no mistake, it always gets passed on to the consumer.
The Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act looks to make many companies develop a packaging reduction and recycling plan that reduces their plastic packaging by 50% within 12 years. Proponents say it would reduce waste and incentivize businesses to use more easily recyclable packaging materials. The legislative session ends June 6th.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
As the New York State legislative session draws to a close, a new poll finds support for several items before the Senate and Assembly, including protecting children from harmful algorithms on social media. Governor Kathy Hochul says she's making the issue a top priority, as we hear now from WBFO Albany correspondent Karen DeWitt.
Siena College pollster Steve Greenberg says in a divided electorate, there's one issue that seems to unite both Democrats and Republicans in New York, and that is support for a ban on social media platform algorithms that feed harmful and addictive feeds to children.
When you get 63% of voters, including majorities of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, to agree on something, you would think your elected officials would listen to that because that's the electorate. That's what the electorate wants.
Governor Kathy Hochul says getting the social media regulation bills passed into law is a top priority for her in the remaining days of the session. She says data shows that use of social media by children and teens is linked to increased rates of anxiety, depression, and suicide.
And this darkness lives on platforms like Instagram, TikTok, These are ruled by addictive algorithms designed to draw the young people deeper and deeper into that darkness over and over.
One of the bills, known as the SAFE Act for Kids, would restrict companies from using the algorithms without parental consent. Another, the Child Data Protection Act, would prohibit online platforms from collecting and sharing children's personal data. Hochul held a news conference with the sponsors of the bills in the Senate and the Assembly. She says she and the legislature are still crafting bill language that could withstand any potential legal challenges. There's been intense lobbying against the measures from big tech companies. The governor could not say, though, whether the votes are there yet to approve the measures.
The momentum is building for this. And we're in the final days, just railing support. That's what today is about.
The Siena poll also asked about New York's Equal Rights Amendment. It would enshrine abortion rights and transgender rights into the state's constitution, among other things. The poll finds 2/3 of New Yorkers favor protecting abortion rights, but they're more divided on transgender rights, with 63% of Democrats supporting it and 58% of Republicans in opposition. Independent voters back both provisions, though by smaller margins. Greenberg says overall support for the amendment, though, is strong when they're asked whether or not they would vote for it.
And most of the people come back. So 59% of voters, a clear majority, say they vote yes, compared to only 26% who say they would vote no.
The ERA was slated to be on the ballot this November, but it's currently on hold after a court challenge. Finally, the poll finds opposition to some of the measures proposed this end of session, including an expansion of the state's bottle bill that would double the deposit to 10 cents and add wine and hard cider containers. Voters are also against any climate change fighting measures that could result in higher prices for energy. The New York Heat Act would eliminate ratepayer subsidies for hooking up new gas lines. Opponents say the changes would end up costing utility customers more, something supporters deny. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
Recently, we went to Jamestown for a visit to the Arts and Cultural Center, CAECO. Located on the second floor at 20 West 3rd Street, CAECO is home to many of the works of artist Casey Colburn. A lifelong resident of Jamestown, Colburn is a Seneca on her mother's side, and that connection drives much of her work. Colburn says her mother was among the many on the Seneca Reservation who were displaced with the construction of the Kinzua Dam.
I think many of us do, you know, the younger generation, we do, because we have seen, you know, what our elders have gone through. You know, a lot of our elders sit quietly because of all the things that have happened to them. I mean, you know, the residential schools and then the removal and, you know, now even things like with, you know, New York State and what Hochul's doing, like, it's a constant state of trauma. And, you know, seeing your loved ones do that, go through that, hearing the stories, knowing that it can still happen, these are things that, you know, we have to combat daily. It's one of the reasons why, you know, our elders sit quietly, but it's also the reason why there's a higher level of suicide and mental health issues within the younger generations. And it's engraved in us. You know, we have a lot of very real generational trauma.
While Casey Colburn works with many different art forms, charcoal, oil paints, digital media, she also takes on traditional methods, including exhaustively intricate beadwork. One piece on display, she says, contains an estimated 15,000 beads.
They're, I think, called seed beads for a reason.
Okay, all right. Pretty small seeds, though. I'll bench that as well.
So, yeah, they, you know, the methods all change depending on what it is you're working on. You know, so if you're doing rosettes, you've got to, like, really tack down your beads. Which is almost like an embroidery type of like feel, where like with the necklace you're sometimes can do kind of like a crochet type pattern with it, or you can, you know, I just kind of put the beads on and then make a daisy chain, which I know it's very hard to try to show that. I have tried to draw it multiple times and trying, like, I've got a board behind you here that's got trying to show the flow of how to make a daisy chain. but wow. it can be kind of a complex thing for sure.
Right.
It's almost like
so trial and error is the way through it initially? Yeah, okay.
Kind of, yeah. And right. it's like Victorian lace. I think once you know the pattern and know how to work with beads, it becomes easier just like everything else.
Right.
One of the nice things that I like to kind of talk about too, and I learned about this while working at the Seneca Museum, so glass sketch beads came to us in the mid-1500s.
Okay.
And so that's when they really became a part of our, society. One of the things, too, that I like to talk about is, and I believe it's the National History Museum in New York. So Caroline Parker, she doesn't get nearly enough, talk about. But she was very influential. Her pieces are still on display there. And some of her beadwork is something that's kind of inspired a lot of Native artists, with, our sky domes, our, her trees, everything that she's done, it's inspired and continues today and shows within the culture. She also, a lot of her, textiles and things ended up going to, we had to sell some of them so that we can get back some of the land from the encroachment from the Erie Canal.
Mm.
And so it's really kind of cool, what beadwork has kind of done for communities, And through her work, what she wanted to do was show what being Native was. And I kind of see a reflection with that, with not just my beadwork, but everybody's beadwork, everybody that is doing beads and things. And so it really is a big dive into culture.
Our hour-long conversation with Casey Colburn will be heard on an upcoming episode of What's Next, and we talk about many of her experiences, the Creatives New York grant that made her an artist in residence at Jamestown Community College, last year's raising of the Six Nations flag at Jamestown City Hall, her decision to open CAECO, her own arts and culture center. Whatever the subject, she talks with depth and passion.
It was interesting, though, to hear you say how your grandmother told your mother, identify yourself as anything but Seneca. That's not a path you're taking. What does it mean for you to display your heritage like this? Is it something that you're finding a healing to? Or do you find it as an inspiration, your creativity? If you don't mind, try to explore that.
So I think really what it is for me is I feel if I can stand out, maybe I can make it okay for the next guy to stand out. And, I have taken a lot of hits, metaphorically. And I've had to deal with, racisms and even some, in high school and things. I actually did have to take very little hits. And I think if I can stand out and say, I am Native, and even though I've got this lateral, I've got people on both sides of me telling me what it is I am or what I can be or what I'm not, and at a certain point you just have to say, back up.
Right.
I'm going to be me. I know where my family comes from, and, it's all around me right now. And there's power and strength in that, and I don't need necessarily a tribal affiliation to know that I'm Native, because I know that I'm Native because I am.
Right.
And nothing else needs to be really said beyond that. And I think if I can try to stand in my own strength with it, maybe I can inspire others to do the same. And I'm not trying to encourage people to appropriate, right? Because we do have an issue with that where, you get on 23andMe, you find one ancestor, and now, your great-great-great-grandma was 1/16th Cherokee princess. Well, that's another conversation that could also take probably a good hour.
We'll come back and have that one.
So I'm not trying to encourage appropriation, but, one of the questions that I get is, well, what can I do if I find out that I do have this ancestor? Well, one of the things is take a moment and reflect, right? Learn about them, learn about their tribe, maybe learn their name in their native language, maybe take a Cornhuskers workshop, but don't make it your whole identity, right? You didn't live the indigenous life, you can't, don't appropriate it, right? Don't pretend to know that you know what it's like to walk in my moccasins, right? I can't say what I, like, I've had privileges living out here that some who live on the reservation have not had. But then there's also cultural privileges that they've had that I have not had.
Right.
And so you have to have a broader understanding of what's happening, and not everything is about you.
Well, Casey, I really appreciate you, sharing. You're very open about everything, and thanks for having us here, Keiko.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.